o'clock at the Oasis. Had you heard that song before?
It's a song I didn't know.
Apparently it's by Maria Muldaur. We should have more conversations over the theme song.
That's the way to do
it. In tune and in key. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys. Thank you so much for joining us for another week, for another day.
For another year.
For another season.
New year, new us.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I calculate we're going to be done with this little experiment of ours by February or March of 2016.
If we're lucky. With all the mailbags.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. We got a backlog of mailbags that we will get to at some point, but...
So we'll see you guys Valentine's Day.
2016.
Yeah, for the finale. Are you including season 7 in that?
Yeah.
Okay,
good. I have to.
So it's like, you better not forget.
I've been forced to. Yeah. I think it's actually March. Someone else is going to do the math and then correct us on Twitter,
if
which
you
is
don't
great.
Do season 7, I'll do it myself.
Again, the best part of... That would be so sad.
That'd be weird.
A one-man podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to one-man podcast before?
That exists?
Whoa. Oh, sure. Garrison Keillor used to do this thing that was like news from Lake Wobegon, but it was like a reading hour. There was some 5-minute podcast with Garrison Keillor where he would just read like random short stories, like it's in the news today with Lake Wobegon. No.
It was a man reading the newspaper.
Yeah, but it's Garrison Keillor, so you're like so put at ease.
Right.
He's like the gentle, froggy uncle everyone wants.
He's the funniest living person, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. I just have a
Garrison
strong
Keillor's?
Feelings about him. Yeah, I think he's probably the funniest person alive.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
A bold claim, and I'm going to have to agree. I don't think there's any contest. It's not Eddie Murphy.
It's between him and one of the guys on SNL. Probably like, it's him or Bobby Moynihan, I think.
I would go Taron Killam.
Taron
Killam. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it could be him. It's either Taron Killam or Garrison Keillor. Yeah, you're right.
We were all thinking that. And in light of that, let's introduce our guest right now.
La la, la la, special guest.
Well, you know this gentleman from his work on such shows as Eastbound and Down, Family Guy, and Vice Principals coming this fall on HBO. And of course, you know him from his podcast, Hollywood Handbook, with Sean Clements. And we'll ask him to speak on that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Hayes Davenport!
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me. This is a big opportunity for me.
You're so welcome.
It's really big for our... Yeah, we do have this other podcast, Hollywood Handbook, that you guys were just on. We just recorded...
Like, that's literally true. An hour ago.
You guys recorded. On it. And this, people don't know that. That's how the podcast business kind of works. It's a lot of trading guest spots. Right. And, like...
It's like a family.
Yes.
It's, but a family that barters time.
Yes,
with
it's
other.
A currency. Mm-hmm. Like, the podcast guest spot is like this currency
I'll
that you can
you
kind
two.
Of trade back and forth.
Do you feel like that's true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll trade you 2 guest spots for 3 guest spots on my show.
Hayes, thank you so much for doing Gilmore Guys.
I'm really excited.
I'm stoked.
I enjoyed watching my episode of the show.
What was your relationship to the show before you watched your episode?
I had never... I had very little knowledge of... It's like a show you guys made?
Yes.
Well, I mean... The fans are all
because you are
of...
like the Gilmore Guys. I just it's like your show and you want notes on it or something.
Yes,
I mean that's one way to interpret it. We do want notes on it, but
okay.
In a way, we're all kind of content creators in the 21st century.
Sure, way it's our show, air quotes.
Right,
it's your show. It's my show.
It's everyone's
everybody's
show.
Show.
Oh, that's cool.
Everyone who listens to this show. Gilmore Guys is their show.
Right.
I'm talking about Marcy. I'm talking about Carissa. I'm naming names.
I was like, this is, name the names. Go
it's
for
it. It's their show.
It's everyone's show.
Probably more so than mine.
Yeah. I'm talking about Poop Doctor.
I had seen, what had I seen? The Mad Magazine parody of it, of Gilmore Girls, which was just called Gabmore Girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Mad TV one, yeah.
Well, there was a Mad TV one as well, which I had also seen, which was also called Gabmore Girls.
With Mo Collins, yeah.
With the great Mo Collins playing Lorelai, and which really worked, I think.
Totally.
I don't know who was Rory.
I forget, too.
But Bobby Lee was the friend.
Yeah, was Lane.
And for Melissa, they did a very mean thing with Melissa McCarthy. I don't want to say it was Will Sasso who they had playing her, but it was like whoever was like filling the Will Sasso role at the time, which was like the big husky guy.
Did you like Mad TV growing up watching it?
I would watch it just as an excuse to stay up late. Like on Saturday, I would watch that and SNL, and I would like tell my parents, like, I gotta like be able to stay up and like watch my favorite shows. But then I would usually watch softcore pornography on Cinemax.
Sure.
Instead.
And a whole like, different kind of Mad TV.
Listen to, and just like listen for their footsteps in like the kitchen to see if they were like going to come down and like spy on me. And so I could turn the channel and hit the last button on the remote, which I always had timed to be like Fox or NBC.
Oh my, you're bringing back a lot of memories for me.
Yeah.
Not pornography related per se, but I think of watching TV shows I shouldn't have been. I think at the time it was the Addams Family, the reboot on Fox Family when I was 10.
One time I got caught like swearing at school or something. My parents were like, where'd you learn this kind of language? It was like The Simpsons. And they were like, all right, no more The Simpsons. And I was like,
oh, shit.
I'm going to keep watching The Simpsons though.
Wait, did I talk about my Simpsons 9/11 thing?
I think you might have, yes, but I don't know.
I heard that episode.
You did actually?
You talked about it with DC.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's my other knowledge of this show is I've listened to several.
You've listened to other episodes.
Your episodes, yes.
But then otherwise,
I'm curious what you would switch to from the Addams Family that was like considered to be
700 Club
acceptable.
Fox News? No, because 700 Club was on Fox Family after hours at that time. Mm-hmm. That would come on at like 10 o'clock because that was the first thing I thought was 700 Club. But no, it's the same channel. Anyway,
he would switch to porn.
It's okay. I was just watching porn. It's all good. Well, let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 305, 8 o'clock at the Oasis. Demi, why don't you give me the Netflix synopsis this time? We're switching it up.
Oh,
I usually do. I get so greedy. But you deserve a time to shine, so don't screw it up.
All right. I'm not going to screw this up. After a After a disastrous date with a man she met at an aug. Wow, that was for real a mess up. After a disastrous date with a man she met at an auction organized by Emily, Lorelai tries to cancel the second date despite her parents' objections.
That's a faithful summary of what happens in the show.
It is, although I feel like they very much underdeveloped the Dwight story.
The Dwight situation.
Yeah, which is the one I was way more interested in.
Oh, we gotta get into that.
Yeah.
But before we do, let's do a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show, put them together in a supercut, and see what we can make of it. So this is episode 305, 8 o'clock at the Oasis. Pop Goes the Culture.
Pretend I'm Antonio Banderas.
I like the new look. It's very Blue Crush. It's
hilarious. Ugh.
David Bowie?
What?
Ground control to Major Tom.
I'm Solomon, not Einstein.
I should call Aaron Brockovich to bring a lawsuit against your parents, you steam and lump of toxic waste!
Lois.
He's got Monopoly from every country in the world.
Hey, when you finally meet
Peter.
Him, remember he owns Twister. There's a great visual awaiting you.
Especially the Trivial Pursuit!
If I would have asked somebody back where I used to live to water my lawn, I would have gotten a much more HBO kind of answer.
A Jaguar XJ8 convertible with a 290 horsepower engine, in case you were wondering.
Sure, it's been taken over by the J. Crew catalog.
Marathon Man kind of paint. They play the Miami Sound Machine, and you dance around. And
no one asked for the Norton Critical Edition.
Apparently, Dwight's last home was Oz, and not as in The Wizard of.
If we walk in there, and his dead mother is sitting in a rocking chair, not a bit surprised. Shamu.
Well, we are not too wild and crazy guys.
You like pina coladas?
I'm getting lost in the rain.
I love it here.
Now, going through this episode, it took a very... I was expecting a lot to be just, like, bombarded with pop culture references to, like, just every other line they'd be, like, dropping something because I've listened to some of these montages that you made in the past. I found this to be a very reference-light episode.
I agree.
I was timing it, and 20 minutes in, I had not counted a single one.
You were timing it?
Yes. Because I was shocked that we had gotten this far. We were more than halfway done, and I hadn't heard a single reference.
I feel like...
Because I think some of those that you've included are actually not references. And I came here expecting to contest some of these things.
Oh.
I wouldn't call Solomon a pop culture reference. I wouldn't call Albert Einstein a pop culture reference. I don't think David Bowie really counts as a reference in the scope of this show because they're actually going to a David Bowie concert.
Interesting.
It's part of the plot. It's yes. not like what they do. Like the Blue Crush thing, like your look. It's very Blue Crush. That's what I was expecting. Like
singer.
A totally dated, like very specific reference to be made.
Yes. But, so references you're saying are things that the characters within the world of the show
yes.
are referencing,
almost
quoting,
like a metaphor.
Not or, a yeah. yeah, not a fabric of what's actually the events taking
yes,
place.
Yes, I don't think that necessarily counts. And Solomon, I wouldn't say a biblical king is really a pop culture reference, but that's what I was thinking. I was like, is that considered a reference?
I guess
reference?
It's not very pop.
I will agree. Yeah, I think it's just a misnomer to
All
say
right,
pop
then you
culture,
do the cut, Demi. You do the cut every week. I'm just kidding.
Look, I've been very critical, and no, I agree that it's maybe pop isn't what we should call it, although I do think it fits in a reference supercut, just maybe calling it pop culture supercut, which we're still going to do despite it being wrong, is probably a bit of a misnomer. But the David Bowie.
But well, I think very often from hearing the other ones, I thought, oh, those are all pop culture references.
Yeah.
This episode just felt light on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, until they get into Dwight's house, where it is every sentence is, you know, they.
Yeah, literally. There was one that was back to back.
A lot of song, yep. Yes. There's like a very long string of them.
Which I think they misquote. If you like pina coladas.
And getting caught in the rain.
Caught
in the rain.
Lost in the
she
rain?
Says lost, I
How do you
believe?
Get lost in the rain?
Yeah. Wow. I wonder if they just felt like too embarrassed to say anything. Like if she missed, if Lauren Graham.
She misquoted on purpose.
Yes.
Maybe they had to dub it over with something because I was reading up on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, just before this episode aired, there was a car crash in, a car bomb attack in Bali. And there's a line where she says maybe his jet just got back from Maui. And they overdubbed her voice with that because she said in Bali. And they're like, well, we don't want to talk about Bali. There was just an accident there.
Wow. Yeah, and we still all... I remember where I was when I heard about that.
Yeah,
that
me too.
Car bomb in Bali.
I don't
it
remember
was,
that.
You don't?
I don't. I'm
wow.
not as geopolitically conscious
forget.
As... Well, that was about 9/11. That wasn't about other stuff.
No, it was about the Bali thing.
Was it actually?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no. I forgot.
Yeah.
How dare you?
That was the
you
one forgot. Thing I was supposed to not do.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Well, I have less of a consciousness about the world than you guys do.
It's all... And I would also... The Twister and Trivial Pursuit stuff. I wouldn't call that a reference either
right.
because they're physically looking
they're
at
physically there.
Twister and Trivial Pursuit.
So what
you can't
would
reference
technical...
something that you're actually experiencing. You know,
but
you know
if
what
it's
I mean?
They're physically experiencing. So if they go to a fictional place like Al's Pancake World, that's not a reference to anything.
Well, that's right.
Because it's fictional. But if it exists in our real world reality.
This show, to me, is famous for weaving these things into conversation, like a reference to a movie, like some pop cultural item into basic conversation in a way that's like fun and snappy. And expecting that going into the show, I didn't get as much of it as I expected because I think this episode was seemingly a very light one in general.
Yeah.
In general, yeah.
It felt like sort of fillery.
It was fillery. I think we can admit that. We can... Take a long look in the mirror and say...
I made a note that it was very fillery, and I wish we got more of J-Ham.
Old J-Ham.
J-Ham,
well, let's
what I
talk
call
about
him.
That.
Let's. Big Baby Draper appears.
Yes.
Big Baby
That's what I call him, because we're
okay.
friends.
Donnie Drapes.
Don Drapes.
Yeah.
What can we even say about that? He looked very young. He was.
He looked very uncomfortable.
His hair is very funny. He has that kind
yeah.
of... 2000s, like very short on the sides, kind of long and greasy on the top
totally.
Thing going. He's in very few scenes, despite being the central character
yeah.
of the episode.
He's
basically.
In two scenes.
He's
two,
in two
very
short
scenes. But he's talked about almost constantly.
And what a funny... And of course, he wasn't known for any of these things at the time, but what a funny casting choice for a guy that's like, oh, we went on a date. He's super boring. No charisma.
Yeah.
He's not funny.
Right.
When it's like, oh man, just knowing John Hamm now.
But
it's
they
like,
did a similar thing on 30 Rock, sort of, with him.
But he was hilarious on 30 Rock.
Yeah, so he was very funny, but he wasn't supposed to be like a funny character
right.
within the show. He was supposed to be,
but they made him so a unappealing.
Loser. Yes,
yeah, I guess that is kind of a mirror because, like, the main character is meant to find him unappealing. Ultimately,
yes, and is trying
way.
To get rid of him.
Yeah,
despite how handsome he is, which
maybe
is kind of what happens on this show.
Yeah.
He was like cast as all these sort of things. Like, I got to get funnier, and he just whipped it up, and now he's this hilarious.
But I think he was always a comedy guy, wasn't he?
I mean, probably, but I'm just saying.
Or into it, interested.
He's
he
always wanted
in
to do that.
Yeah,
yes.
That's why he was in the A team.
You always have this sort of feeling with John Hamm, which is like, you're so good at what you do. You shouldn't aspire to do any of this comedy stuff. And like, it's nice that you go on podcasts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're like in the comedy world. But I mean, I feel like if he were actually in it, he would know that what he's doing is much better. He should just be he should just be satisfied.
Just focus
with,
on that.
Yes, with the wonderful stuff that he's
focus
doing.
Focus on making Cool Runnings too. What was that movie he was in?
Million Dollar Arm.
Yep. Cool Runnings too.
There's
right.
been like 10 Cool Runnings.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yes.
There's another Cool Runnings right now.
You know that USA.
Yep.
You know that the India and Jamaica are two different places, right?
What?
Yes.
Where's
okay. See, I had this thing too. Seeing Million Dollar Arm,
yeah.
I also kind of thought because they look sort of similar,
right?
So I thought that those were actually the same guys who were in the bobsled.
Yeah, like the
trying,
same actors. Yeah,
trying to like be pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was like a
Doug.
Prequel.
Yeah,
but then someone told me that yeah, those are different.
And I was like, why is John Candy John Hamm now?
John Hamm.
Yes, it was weird how they were trying to pass off
John
Hamm
Food.
As John Candy.
It's just
John Food.
We need exactly a John Food of some sort.
Man.
Get me a John Food.
Get me John Cheese dead. And Mac. John Mac and Cheese.
Get me
Mac
John Potatoes.
Well, Hayes, sorry we gave you a filler episode. The true reason...
It felt pointed. It felt like sort of directed at me. Listen, I appreciate the opportunity. I'm happy to be here.
The opportunity.
You need someone to talk about this episode. And, you know, it's not going to be like a DC Pearson or, you know, like these big name guys. You want to use them for like the season finale or something. I'm just, you get in where you fit in. That's kind of my motto.
Well, in fairness, Hayes, DC watched every single episode
I know.
The finale.
I know. And I did not do that. I watched this episode on the way here in my
and
car.
And we would never ask anyone to watch every episode up to the one they do. That's
right.
Crazy
I'm
going to
start asking
town.
People to do that now.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, you know, DC did it. I don't know if you want to.
That's what he does. Anytime he goes on a podcast, he becomes more of an expert in that subject
than the people hosting it.
Yes.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah. It was a humbling moment for all of us, I think.
I asked him to come on my beer growing podcast, and he grew a whole beard for it, and he hasn't shaved it since.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yep. Yep. He shaved yours off.
Yeah. Well, I ended the podcast.
Tit for tat, podcast currency, bartering. The true reason we asked you on this show for this episode is because you got a shout out in it.
I did get a shout out
from
in it.
From Emily.
Yes.
Davenport.
Yes.
I mean, and after hearing that, we watched it. We texted each other and we're like, dude, we got to get Hayes.
We
got to
get Hayes.
Yeah.
It only makes sense. It's like, it just fits together like puzzle pieces.
That was exciting for me at the time because I was in high school when that episode debuted. And the next day, it was sort of like a whole week actually of like joking around about like me being a celebrity now and like, you know, was I gonna like please remember your friends, you know, like what now that you're famous. And it was fun, and when it went away it was actually really depressing for me when you stop getting that attention, you've gotten used to it and you think it's just gonna last forever, but it doesn't. It never does.
But that's why we're here, to relive it.
All the glitters is not gold forever.
Because you can hear over and over in your head.
Davenport.
That'll live on in infinite.
Yeah. Who says that? The mom?
A mom.
The
Emily
mom of
Gilmore.
The mom.
Okay. So
who
the mom
was fun.
Is... So just trying to piece together...
Yeah, let's piece it together.
The
let's
show.
Break it down. Yeah.
You guys talk a lot about... Team Jess and Team Dean on the podcast. I don't know who Dean is at all. I don't think I ever saw him or heard anything about him in this episode.
If you did, it wouldn't matter.
He's not in this episode.
He's not in the app.
They talk about him very briefly.
She pages him.
Yeah.
And he's late to reply.
It's Jared Padalecki.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
From Supernatural.
Yeah.
Supernats.
Okay. So I can't really make a decision on which team I'm on.
Right.
What I know about Jess is that he hates breastfeeding. And he needs to be out of the room when someone's breastfeeding in there.
God.
Oh, yeah,
God!
Yeah, that was the most overreaction I've ever seen. Like, he was seconds away from just, like, throwing up.
Yeah, because he saw a boob.
Both him and Luke had a pretty adverse... Someone asked a
just,
really
like, grow up.
Interesting question on Twitter.
Twitter Q&A.
That's some of the singing we talked about on your podcast, like doing the live singing for
Yes, and we have resolved to do more of that on our show. So if you guys listen to our show, Hollywood Handbook, expect some of the same things you love.
Well, that's not the full title. What's the full title?
Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names on the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
So put that in iTunes.
And we talk about TV shows. We can talk about Gilmore Girls if you guys want. If that's like... if we got a big enough chunk of your listeners, it would probably be almost all of the listeners of our show. And so if they like Gilmore Girls, that can be something that we, if there's any like spillover topics that you guys don't get to, we are happy to like dig into, into some of that stuff.
Well, we've been pushing like an hour and a half, 2 hour. I think one of them coming up is going to be about 2.5 hour podcast. So there's a lot of room to like dig in to stuff we didn't cover because we're not exhaustive with it. We're always just kind of grazing by everything. So maybe you guys could be like the bonus episodes.
Yeah. And like, and we can also promise that we'll do pop culture references that are like for sure real pop culture references. And where we won't like water it down with like stuff that's like not really
Solomon.
Pop culture. Yeah. So
Leah Alton on Twitter at onomatopoeia_Leah asks, Luke is normally so pro personal freedoms. Does the breastfeeding scene strike you as slightly out of character? To that, I would say no.
No.
Because he's selective about the personal freedoms that he's for.
That's his thing, his big
He loves personal freedoms.
That's an interesting character to have on a show.
No, he's just like, he's the angry hippie.
Is he like a states' rights guy, kind of?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Almost
I would
definitely.
Say so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not out of character to me because he's also this very sort of like... Like the guy who loves baseball and fishing and is like, women, like he doesn't want to do, he's just very much himself. Like he states rights, but I don't think he cares about what other people are doing unless it's bothering him for a lot of the time. So,
which if someone's breastfeeding, that certainly applies.
In his restaurant.
That is really bothering him.
Yeah, I don't, he overreacted.
I don't think that scene could exist today.
It wouldn't exist today.
I don't think Standards and Practices would be none. Well, no. Who would it be? It'd be network. You work in TV.
Well, what grounds do you think it wouldn't exist?
I think now the playing up breastfeeding as comically, although there's a lot of out of touch sitcoms still on right now.
It depends on the show. Yeah. I think like if Heart of Dixie was the closest thing to
which it is. They literally shoot on the same set.
That still exists. Yeah. They would probably not do something like that because it is, it would be considered today, I think, very chauvinistic to think that public breastfeeding was offensive
and
disgusting and to have someone walk in a room and see it happening and go, oh God, and to turn away and walk out and that to be like the blow for a scene.
There it is. Now, Hayes, you stated before we turned our little mics on.
Yeah.
That you had a bit of a personal connection to the
show. I do have a personal connection to it. My my girlfriend of almost 9 years, thank you, her brother used to date Alexis Bledel in college at NYU. She went to NYU for a year. I don't know if you've talked about her personal history, but...
we haven't.
We haven't gotten too much into that.
She was supposed to come on the show a while back in the first season.
Oh, so you're mad.
Yeah,
we're a little mad.
Well, she canceled on us 21 times in a row.
21 in a row.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a bummer. We kept getting filling guests, though.
Yeah, so it was fine. Good.
Did she give any reason? Or?
Oh, she gave 21 reasons.
A different reason every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to wait for her to come on to talk about this, that she used to date
you
my
can probably
girlfriend's brother.
Speak to that better.
Okay. She used to date my girlfriend's brother when she was a freshman in college, which like right before she got on Gilmore Girls. And all I really know is from my girlfriend, them, I think sort of knowing that she was going to be an actress or model or something like that. Her career was kind of growing. And my girlfriend was, I think, 16 or so at the time, and there was, like, some break where her brother was at home, and they were, I think, like, close to breaking up or something like that. It was like kind of like fizzling out in the way that college relationships do. And Alexis Bledel called their house to talk to my girlfriend's brother. And my girlfriend answered and said, like, oh, he's really been waiting to hear from you. And I guess her brother heard and was like, in that teenage way, like, what do you, why'd you say that? Why'd you tell her that? She definitely did it on purpose. As like a little dig at this thing.
Sure.
But I don't know any real details about the relationship, but she and I are very closely connected. We could have been
in-laws
had they gotten married, and also had my girlfriend and I gotten married, which we have not done.
Well,
but if both of those things happened, we would be in-laws.
If two things that did not happen
happened, yes,
then you would have a connection.
It's kind of like how if I had married Alexis Bledel, I would be her husband.
Yes.
Well, that's
it's
true.
It's almost
in a way.
Exactly
yeah.
like that. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That would only be one thing that would have to happen. Mine's
so
actually
I'm
much
closer.
Farther removed from that.
Right.
Well, here's my question. Does Vincent Kartheiser, her current husband, have a sister?
That that perhaps one of you could marry?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we're single gentlemen.
Yeah. Are you trying to... Why?
Just that way, you know, it'd just be a family connection, and then...
You would still, I guess, be basically in-laws at that point, yeah.
Well,
if
let's
you married
do the math.
Vincent Kartheiser's sister.
Yeah, let's dig into this.
Vinny Kart.
If I marry a girl,
yep,
and that girl has a brother, and that brother is married to another girl,
yeah,
right,
then I'm related to that girl.
That's the same relationship that I have, that I would have at that point, basically.
That's so interesting.
You could also, if Alexis Bledel has a sister, you could marry the sister.
And it would be the same relationship.
We didn't even think of that.
Oh my gosh.
You guys don't have an end game for this podcast at all?
Nope.
It's just to talk about the show? You're not trying to marry anyone?
Look, if anyone wants to marry us, we'll accept it.
Listen, Demi, I read the emails that you don't. I have
That's
to filter
true.
Them out.
Which
I actually do because
of spoilers.
Because of spoilers.
Right. Oh, does it upset you that he might be filtering out emails from
marriage proposals?
A possible bride?
What
for
the
you?
Hell, dude?
No, you haven't.
I've been telling you I wanted to get married for a while now.
Nothing seemed to me to feel serious enough to be worth passing along to you.
Okay.
So I've kept you safe.
That's your whole thing, kind of, is wanting to get married.
It's I have tattoos. Just like, can't wait to be a wife. You know? A wife.
You're waiting to be a wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I can
that
be
a... That wasn't a typo. The guy wasn't supposed to put be with a wife.
I couldn't
it's
think
in
of
a word. It's in a word bubble.
I couldn't think of
an
alliteration.
That you can, like, hold up over your...
Exactly.
You head. Know, your, the wife of your...
If I go to a bar, I just let people know. Like, I make eye contact with a girl. I'm just like, hey, just so you know, I'm waiting to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I tell them I watch Gilmore Girls. Tell them I got a podcast. Tell them I got a... I like dogs.
Do you think this podcast will help us meet girls?
No.
We get approached
not.
All the time on the street.
And
currently.
They go, this is my boyfriend.
Yep.
Yes.
He loves the Gilmore Girls.
He loves the Gilmore
That's
Girls.
That's happened a
I
few
hate
times.
He really loves you guys. He wants to marry you guys.
Do you want
to
hang
look,
out?
Look, I'll marry. Look, if anyone's listening and you got a boyfriend,
ladies,
I'll marry your boyfriend.
Ladies.
I'll marry your boyfriend. I'm waiting to be a wife.
It sounds like we're getting a little personal. I'm not going to play this, the music.
Nah. Instead of getting personal, we should talk about the show.
I don't know why.
What's wrong with the music?
Well, you know what? You know, Hayes
just play
is
it
right.
And then we'll decide why you didn't
Wait, we have
play
music
it.
For personal? Oh. That's why. Look, I'm waiting to be a wife. And I've been waiting for a while. And I'm just so sick and tired of waiting. You know, it's just like, when's it? Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
You're wearing a veil.
I am wearing a veil.
Like Hammers and Veils, episode 202.
Yeah. And you know what's not veiled? My enthusiasm for marriage.
Hayes, can you talk about marriage for a little bit?
Yeah, I...
In a personal way.
Yes. My relationship to marriage is I sort of refuse... Okay, I got with this girl that I'm with now a long time ago.
We'll call her Stacy.
Sure. Sort of expecting that her... She might be in-laws with kind of a celebrity.
Right.
That I could kind of like draft off of for a while, and like some of that would be coming my way at some point, you know, like that money would be her brother's money, then he would distribute to his family members, probably starting with, it's his only sister.
Trickle down economics.
It's not like he's splitting it between a bunch of siblings. Like I did the math on this, and it's like a substantial amount that I could have ended up with had this relationship gone through. It was already over at the time. He and Alexis were no longer dating when I started dating this girl.
And was that
but
hard
for I
you?
Don't know like what the yes like
it was.
It was, and since that first finding out that this was not going to happen, I have not really been able to. I made a lot of promises very early, expecting to like be compensated in some way by this relationship, and now it's just been a slow process of like trying to extricate myself with all these, you know, all these promises.
Wow. Well, I'll talk about it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Remember you.
For me, marriage, my parents are still happily married. They're a great model for me. I always imagined I'd be married one day. And I thought that day would be pretty soon. Every day I wake up, I feel a little bit further and further away from it.
Right. Almost like you're getting divorced every day.
I'm getting divorced from the idea of it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the longer I live, the more and more I'm just married to the idea.
Yeah, the more divorced you are.
The more divorced
every day,
I am.
You're a little more divorced.
Yeah, from the idea.
And you got to pay the divorce attorney fees every time.
Yeah, and you don't even get the benefit of marriage in this case.
Right.
No.
You're splitting half your stuff with yourself, and you got kids to deal with, and you've got. You got, you know, prenup that you never signed.
Mm-hmm. It's sad it's to just affair. Skip the step of marriage and to just get divorced. But I agree, that is basically what's happening to you.
Yeah.
And if anything, I'm just married to this podcast, but this podcast won't last forever.
It won't.
No.
It's a limited run. March 2016, we're done.
Isn't you guys have to figure out a way to stretch it out because it has really caught on. You guys were
I think
in
we
the,
just talk real slow.
The Atlantic
like
Magazine
we are
website. Yeah. Or make up fake episodes.
That's
shoot some really
we will
quickly.
Talk about season 8.
We'll write a season 8.
Yeah, let's do it. That's
we hope one day they'll actually get together for a season 8. Like 6 episodes on Netflix. That can't be too hard.
Yeah.
That can't be too hard.
I don't know if I want it.
To get the really?
I don't know if I want it.
You're going to want it after season 7, bro.
I don't
it takes
know.
A turn. It takes a big bad turn.
You're saying you don't know if you want it because you have other plans for after this podcast.
I'm already signed on
to
do...
Demi's not going to hang out with me if we're not doing this
podcast.
That is
not true.
Though. You're
it
a Vine
is.
Superstar.
Look, I'm very...
You're
honestly,
a Twitter phenomenon.
Honestly, when you told me this podcast was going to happen, I thought, cool, I can take 6 seconds out of my day. I thought it was going to be a 6 second thing. It's not. I'm a little upset.
You That's sort of the impression I had coming in here today.
It was
well.
A 6 second podcast?
Yeah.
It's like 100 Vines in a row.
I mean, more so.
Like 1,000. I don't know math.
100 Vines in a row, 6 minutes?
I can count to 6, all right? What do you want from me? Let's get into marriage.
I want you to answer this question for me. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is from Matt Gibson, how much do you want to see Kelly Bishop on an episode of Sons of Anarchy sitting in a sidecar going by the name Cobra?
Oh, I would love to. Because when she was talking about the sidecar thing, I was wanting her to play along with the joke and just be like, I would never sit in a sidecar, Lorelai.
I am not. That was one of the classic I am not Lorelai Emily moments, which I believe we have a clip of.
You didn't see before, but when you waved, you bought a motorcycle and a sidecar.
I did not.
Circa 1912.
Which often that's kind of the crux of their relationship, or a good microcosm of their relationship.
She wants to, but it sort of sounds like when she says, I did not, that she is a little bit worried that she did buy a motorcycle with a sidecar. Yeah.
To you, what was the best part of watching this show from an outsider's perspective?
I think a big part of the fun for me was like watching the opening credits and expecting to see all these characters that were sort of advertised in the opening credits and really seeing very few of them. Melissa McCarthy, I was kind of waiting for. I didn't really catch a look at her for the entire
episode.
She's
great, but
I'm
not
sure
here.
She is. She's very talented. there's like a friend. There's like a little friend.
Lane.
The one the Bobby Lee plays in the Mad TV parody. Did not see her. People seem to like her and the show and like other episodes you guys have done of the show. Jess, I did see briefly. I saw him hate breastfeeding, and I saw that he's good at turning off sprinklers.
And getting wet. Well, let's talk about that moment. So Rory goes over. Dwight has drafted Lorelai to tend to his water. To me, he's kind of asking just her to be a neighbor, right?
Yeah.
She acts like she's being persecuted. That seems like that's really intense.
Deal.
He's like a little bit much, but overall, he's not like a bad guy. He seems very appreciative.
He's just a weirdo. He's not what he's asking her is not strange. Like if I had a neighbor and be like, "Hey, I'm going out of town. Is there any chance you could turn the sprinkler for me?" Like for three times.
It's not like feeding cats and you're allergic to cats. It's fine. It's
also
water.
He was like, "You can use my house." Like. It was a very kind, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a nice house. He's got a lot of cool stuff in it.
A lot of board games, some tiki, torches.
The Oasis.
Does he ever appear again?
No. Well, that was one of the questions is someone asked on Facebook, I believe.
Facebook Q&A.
That's right. Do you think Dwight is eventually murdered by his wife who has rage issues? That's from Jamie Power.
Definitely.
Who is?
Alex Borstein.
Which
it was Alex Borstein.
100%. Yeah. This is the second.
Because I was looking, I recognized the voice. Yeah. I guess because we're friends. And I was
you guys are good, close personal friends from your time on Family Guy.
Yes.
You were kind of her Martin Scorsese.
I wrote for the lowest. I was like the lowest writer.
Were you actually?
Like, you know how they have like one person doing all the jokes?
Yeah.
Or like each character on the show?
Yep.
And for me, it was Lois. Which you work your way up to. That's a very desirable character to write for. And you just have her being like he's like, Peter!
Peter!
You know? Like, she's mad at him. And it was just my job to find out different ways that she could be mad at her husband. But then also say that she loved him at the end. Like, on the couch. She'd be sitting on the couch.
Right,
she'd be
right.
Like, I love you. I didn't realize that. How do you know? You just recognize the voice? Or was it in the credits?
It's unmistakably her.
It does sound
a
lot like
her. And she does have a connection to the show. This is the second.
She was on Mad TV, which did a parody of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of connections here. Mm-hmm. She played Drella in season 1, the harpist at the inn. She played this crazy lady, and she plays another character in season 4.
They
really
love
her. So she plays three different characters.
Yeah.
And she's married in real life, RLL. To Jackson Douglas, who plays Jackson on the show.
Oh, okay. Did I meet Jackson?
Not on this app.
Nope.
No. Do you know Jackson?
I've met him.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Cool.
So I guess I would have recognized him had I seen him on this show, but he did not appear. Who's the guy? I was curious about that guy in the opening credits who's holding a jar of...
Sean Gunn.
Well, yeah. What is it that he's holding?
I actually don't know.
Is it honey?
Hay fever.
Oh,
it's for your hair.
It's
it was one of his classic crazy get rich schemes.
It's shampoo.
Oh, okay. I was curious about him. Does he always hold that jar?
I wish. It's just one episode that happened earlier this season.
Oh, okay.
Are you saying does he hold that jar in every episode? And
just
that's
like whenever you see him, is he holding that jar? Or like different jars?
He's not like the log lady equivalent of Stars Hollow. That'd be amazing, though.
That was one thing I was interested in. Maybe I would get to see that guy.
Like, what's the explanation behind that jar?
Yeah, I never really saw him. I don't know. It seems like a lot of these guys, they gave him a week off.
It's very surprising that we see Michelle at all because he is almost never in the show.
Oh, okay.
So this is a very heavy episode for him.
I liked him.
Yeah. He's fun.
He's very fun, and he had the classic line.
And you must always be extremely careful of your pattern movement.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly calls for a dirty.
She loves to say that.
Classic catchphrase.
That's her catchphrase. That's not
dirty.
That's not a reference to something?
It's...
Nope.
Okay.
It's a reference to Dirty.
Dirty.
Did we ever get behind whether or not Yannick Truesdale is like putting on an accent?
He is.
Okay. Because the way that he says things, it's almost like he forgets he's doing an accent midway and just goes, "You must forget." Yuck. Like he just almost like swallows something at the end of a sentence.
Oh, that's true sometimes. Yeah.
He was doing that sort of Kramer style thing. You know how on Seinfeld they would. Like, if Jerry ever had to go do something, like, he had to go, like, watch a soccer game or something, Kramer would be like, "Are you kidding me? I love soccer."
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, his favorite thing, just to have, like, another person there for Jerry to, like, interact with while he's
at
this business. Because he doesn't end up Michelle doesn't end up figuring into the events of the show at all.
He's just chilling out,
yeah,
hanging at the auction. I think it's consistent with his character. It's fun to see how much he loves Emily.
Auctions.
He loves auctions, man.
I just thought,
he
what a paddles. Weird thing.
He loves auctions. Luke loves personal freedoms. Kirk loves jars.
That's how you develop a character, is like find the very specific thing that they love.
Jess loves magic.
Yeah, like for...
I didn't get to see any of that, unless you would consider how good he is at shutting off the sprinkler to be magical.
I considered his disappearing act when he saw that breastfeeding is a pretty good trick.
I think he made Rory's worries disappear.
In a way, everything he does is magic. I'm Team Jess.
That moment where he turns off the sprinklers because Rory can't figure it out.
Another thing that's not the most respectful to women on the show is how much
she doesn't
trouble,
know how to figure out
how much trouble she has shutting off this thing that he comes over and does. It so easily,
yeah,
instantly shuts the thing off.
I'm pretty sure he does the same thing she did.
He says basically like, oh yeah, you just have to turn it. He really does say that.
Yeah,
he shows up
give
and
it
is
a
like,
little turn.
Yeah, you just kind of have to give it the old turn.
She's like, whoa, I didn't
and then it's off.
Think about that.
And she's like, oh, you sorry, I didn't know.
Oh, she's kind of a French girl in your impersonation of her.
Yeah, like I said, I watched the show on the way here in the car, and so I haven't really had time to perfect all my impressions.
Well, that's good. That one is French name.
That one is the farthest along, I think.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Right. Do you have an Emily impression yet? You're working on that.
Emily's the mom?
Emily's the grandma.
Whose grandma?
Rory's grandma. Okay. Lorelai's mom.
Lorelai's mom.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was right when I said she's the mom.
Yeah.
She is a mom.
But when
no,
you say
she's the mom.
When you say the mom, I would think it's Lorelai.
I would think it's Lorelai because she's a central character. She's one of the Gilmore girls. Well, so is okay. Emily because she's a Gilmore. But
I know what you mean, though.
So she is Rory's mom.
There's a way in which we're both right.
Yeah.
But she's Rory. Lorelai is Rory's mom.
It's like that puzzle. Okay.
Emily is Lorelai's mom.
It's like that riddle of like two sons and two fathers go fishing. They each catch a fish. There are only three fish caught. It's like,
who's the mom?
And it turns out that the doctor is a woman.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I know that one. Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. the fish is a mom too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that. But you said you were working on your impression.
I'll come back and do that one.
Yeah.
I'm doing every episode this week, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have you on for 305.
Yes.
We'll have you on 306 through 309, okay. I believe is what we've booked.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
For now. It's the first time, and it's just an experiment.
Doing a residency.
Yeah, like having a guest residency, because we found like we have people in and then we have them out. People get to know and love our guests.
Sure, but then and they say, where'd he go?
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I like that fella. Right. I like that lady. Mm-hmm.
I came
want
for
more.
The haze, and now I got to listen to these other fools talk.
Yeah.
I just did eyes to everyone in the room, and I just realized you guys can't see that.
Oh, but if only.
If only.
He gets so Jess in that moment. He turns off the sprinkler. And it takes, like you said, it's immediate. It's instant. It's 5 seconds. He gets so wet.
Yeah.
So quickly.
They're both soaking wet.
They are in a Flashdance video immediately.
They cut out the scene where Jess is like, hold on, let me do some push-ups in this puddle real quick.
I mean.
It felt very sexual.
It did.
Two soaking wet teenagers.
The mutual wetness.
I was hearing Maroon 5 in my head after he turns off the...
Which one?
I don't mind spending every day. That one.
Yeah.
Because like they're both drenched when he turns off the sprinkler. They're just looking at each other like, hey, how you doing? How you been? I've been good. Oh, Dean's coming. Oh, I guess I should go then. Yeah, maybe you should. Just like that weird sort of breathy... love conversation.
It is something, it sort of seems like it should be in the rain.
Yeah.
But they used like a cheap alternative.
Exactly.
For rain.
they had to. It's not a big budget show.
No, and here's how you can tell that. They set up this whole date that she's, you know, the mm-hmm. biggest thing that happens in the episode is she goes on this date with John Hamm.
Yeah. Right.
And it doesn't go well.
Peyton Sanders,
mm-hmm. yes.
So this is a Peyton Place of a different sort.
Right.
Oh, boy.
they don't show the date. And right. I know this is something that happens on the show a lot. I listened to Sean Clements' episode mm-hmm. as well, where there's a car crash. That's like the crux of the episode. And it's really just them coming home and saying, like, oh, I went on this date. It was terrible. Or like, oh, I just got in a bad car crash. Like, they successfully, I think, it's an amazing trick, replaced... having to shoot these big event, like, you know, set up a whole new location and like shoot an event with just talking about it with the characters you're already paying in like the sets you already have.
Right.
Because you just see there's literally no break between her saying her going out on the date
right.
with John Hamm, leaving the house. And then the next scene she comes back to the house and is like, that was awful.
Right.
Which on almost any, like a lot of other shows, you would see it.
Which is so strange, though, because in the first season, they talk about going to a Bengals concert, and they go. And
they
show,
actually go to a Bengals
they
concert?
They show a
in
lot.
New York
it's
City.
Like 20 minutes of the episode is them at the concert, and you see the Bengals, and you see the entire audience. And it's like, this seems like it'd be a very expensive thing to set up and shoot. Maybe that's where they blew all the budget.
And now we instead 13. We have a David Bowie concert.
Because they don't have to show it.
That they're going to go to.
Well, it's the season finale. No spoilers.
Do they really go to a Bowie concert?
I wish, but no.
Man.
Taylor Brogan from Facebook asks, should Lorelai have waited until after Bowie to ditch John Hamm?
Yes.
It's Bowie.
Yeah, just go to the show.
Go to the Bowie concert.
Is it going to be that intolerable to just sit there and... listen, how, like, hear a concert?
Yeah, how bored can you be at a concert by someone else's presence?
I guess it depends. Are you sitting? Are you standing?
No, you're standing for Bowie.
Well, you are, but are they? Is Peyton the kind of guy who's like, I'm a rich, cool dude. I'm John Hamm. I'm going to go to the David Bowie concert and stand the whole time?
I feel like everyone in the audience would stand. If nothing else, Lorelai would stand and just be like, you're weird for sitting. I'm not doing this.
I've seen people sit down at Bruce Springsteen shows, dude.
You've seen some weird people.
I've seen a lot of weird people in my day. I have a lot of stories.
He yells at you to sit down, though. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it.
Everybody sit down.
All right, everybody. This is where we all sit down. Like, our personal freedoms are being sat upon. I'm bringing up my old friend Luke. Actually, that's true. Before I was a Bruce Springsteen fan, I compounded Scott Patterson and Bruce Springsteen in my head. I thought they were the same person.
This is the diner owner?
Yes.
Yeah, I sort of see that.
Mm-hmm.
Strong opinions.
Everybody in the crowd, raise your hand if you hate breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding in America is wrong. Xavier on Twitter, this isn't a question, but it's a point worth talking about. He says, if you don't hashtag say yes to the Jess after this episode, it's kind of the segment we've coined for talking about Jess, you're a verified heartless monster. So let's break that down.
After this because episode? He turned off a sprinkler?
That is my question.
Look, I've turned off many Xavier.
This is the turning point episode where you're supposed to come on Jess's side.
I mean,
I liked that he's good at turning off sprinklers, but I didn't like how much he hates breastfeeding. And so I'm completely neutral on him at the end of this.
I will say
there's one quality I think is great and one that I think is not good at all.
I will say this is easily the nicest episode Jess has ever had, aside from the opening moment. But it was this weird moment of him just like, she mentions like, yeah, I gotta find Dean. The sprinkler's broken. He's just like, I'm running there. And he doesn't even like listen to her being like, hey,
he
wait,
knows
no,
where
good.
To run to.
Yes. Well, he knows it. Did well, she say the neighbor?
I mean, is the way they set it up, it looks like it's right around the corner. Like she runs out of
everything is right,
runs
everything
out of Dwight's house,
right around the
and
corner.
Then she turns a corner and she's suddenly on Main Street.
Yep.
She's like in the town square. And every character is like just like hanging out on the street.
What's up?
And Jess is suddenly right there, and then they go into the house.
I thought it was funny that Jess, like when we first see him, he looks like he's walking somewhere with a purpose, and then Rory bumps into him, and he just changes direction and runs after her.
But dude, that's how much he cares.
Maybe that's
for
what
her.
This listener is reacting to. And
maybe
because he dropped everything.
That you're heartless because he changed his serious plan.
He was gonna go steal 500 more baseballs.
That's true.
But he—that was a funny, funny prank.
That's very funny. Yes, I listened to that. I think in either the Ben Rogers episode or Sean Clements's.
It was Sean
that he stole 500 baseballs.
For what purpose? I'm gonna say. I mean, well, true. But I would still, if we're gonna say yes to the Jess, let's go around the horn. I still say no. I think being a basically good human being is fine. He wasn't a dick. But he wasn't anything extraordinary.
I will say that you on this kind of a show, I think being a basic human being is the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, I guess I can. I guess I'm okay with them dating. It's like in this context of the show,
sure,
because there are so many like awful suitors. But I will say that Jess has had so much backstory of him just being like the worst that it's kind of at a point where like him being decent is almost like you need to step it up a little bit. Although this was
step
a nice moment. I'm not Team Jess, but I'm on the fence.
I saw him do a favor for someone that I think almost any stranger would probably do. And also have a very retrogressive response to seeing a woman's exposed breast feeding her child in public.
But would any stranger look that good soaking wet?
Yes, it's lucky for her that she picked someone who would have a t-shirt cling to him in that specific way. Yes,
like
a lot of people on that street who wouldn't have looked as good. You're right.
Why does Jess think it's so awful for a woman to be breastfeeding when he makes out with people in that very restaurant, like very publicly, like all over each other?
Because once you bring a baby to the boobie,
the
context changes. Like it's totally different.
He's like, that used to be sexual for me, but now there's a baby.
But now it's like life-giving.
He didn't know that it was for that.
Yeah.
He forgot. He wasn't clued in. And then, well, we were talking about John Hammond not showing the date. I actually kind of like that choice. Because I don't know narratively what it would serve to show it.
Well, part of me just wanted to see more John Hamm because I thought it would have been fun.
Of course.
Well, what if you just showed it instead of talking about it?
That's true.
And you replace the scene where she goes bit like moment by moment through the bad parts of the day and replace that with actually seeing it happen.
Because that would be longer.
But we saw
she could cut. She,
we saw we the saw. Bad date with Rune.
Right, but that was more about Jackson and Suki than it was about Rune and Lorelai. That's
true. I read the AV Club review of this episode, because AV Club is just a great way to know whether or not something is good.
They are.
They're pretty infallible.
They're TV
I would
experts,
say.
And they yeah. know basically everything about TV.
Yeah, they did a little write-up about our podcast, actually, in Podmas.
They did.
That was very nice. Mm.
We'll get in there one of these days.
You've been in there.
Yeah, but we're on a long hiatus for being in there.
Sure.
They said in the review that it would have been showing a bad date on television is boring. But I think a show like, for example, Seinfeld, this is the show I seem to reference a lot. They show many,
keep talking,
many bad dates on the show Seinfeld. Oh, you have a whole segment for this. Good. Great.
Just keep talking.
The show Seinfeld, they show so many bad dates with all kinds of weird, boring things going on, and it's always very funny. It's right. like a central device of that show to watch Jerry or George or any of the characters go on a bad date. So I disagree with this AV Ooh. Club reviewer. This is a very, and in Los Angeles, by the way, this is a very bold thing to do.
To disagree with
to
an AV
Club. Speak out against
an
AV Club is something you do not do. But in this case, I do have to disagree.
You're going to get run out of town.
It's not inherently boring to show.
Are a lot of people in the industry afraid of the AV Club? Or afraid of their disapproval?
They give a grade to your episode that lasts forever.
That's true.
And you take, we've talked about this on our show, you take like a GPA. Like your AV Club GPA is something that you'll like show around when you like get hired on something.
I imagine Breaking Bad producers just like, oh, whoops, that's my score report from yeah. the AV Club.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not.
Those guys can work on any show now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think GPA it's intimidating.
Yeah, ever since the standardized. Yeah.
I just think people respect the AV Club. So it's like if they say something bad, they kind of take it to heart. It's like, oh, I really liked it when you said something good and I respect you guys. So, mm-hmm. oh, no, that might be true.
They like this show a lot, but they did not think this episode was that great.
I don't
which
think
made me feel good.
I don't
either. It just felt thin.
Yeah,
and I was glad to see that this was one of the lesser episodes.
Well, making 22 episodes is just yes. tough for an hour. For comedies, I understand how that's probably a little easier, but 22 hour long dramas,
right?
There is invariably flab. Unless you've just like, I can't think of 1 hour long drama show that didn't have like 2 bad episodes per season. That was 22
sure.
episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was 22. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. But when you do 13, you can do it start
exactly.
to finish. I mean, at least you can try to arc it. But
I liked seeing Edward Herman in the show. Is he in it a lot?
He is.
Yeah. He was particularly sassy.
I'm a big fan of
his. I loved his
yeah.
scenes. In his first scene, he gets real passive aggressive with Emily and super fun, where he's mm-hmm. talking about the flavorless pork.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Well, that's part of the Where You Feed, I Will Swallow.
It seemed
show.
Like he was,
oh boy,
you know, he was Richie Rich's dad.
Literally.
In that movie. Yeah. And it seemed like they were trying to make it seem like he and Richie Rich's mom got divorced and then he married Lorelai's mom.
Yeah.
Because it's the same character. I think it's meant to be the same yeah. character.
It's the Edward Herman type, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see him playing a lot of people that aren't like this or FDR.
Rich dads.
Yeah, rich dads.
Yeah, rich
dads. FDR is rich dad.
Yeah.
That's true.
I also, it was half sweet, half just hilarious, his scene where he's like, it sounds insane. He's like, of course it is. It is insane, but it's what my wife wants, and
you
if
mean,
she wants...
Right.
Of course it sounds insane. It is insane.
Yeah. I love that he's like, if my wife wants the first cup of tea, she'll have it. Like, he just, like, yells it at her. It was sweet.
That was interesting to know that that's how that world works.
Yeah.
Because we're all just kind of, I don't know about you guys, I'm kind of, like, on the outside looking in at that country club world.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care when I get mine,
the tea, yes, the tea. But should I? Should I be caring more? You know, it made
that's
me
true.
It made me think, like, I should
well,
care
that's
more
the,
about that.
Those
stuff.
Are the questions the show's raising
yeah.
in all of us. Like, should we care about the tea order? Should we care about acceptance from the higher status?
Mm-hmm. What did the friend do? That she lost her place in the tea order.
Oh, Biddy Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes,
whatever her name is.
I don't remember what she did.
She doesn't. She gets tea last.
Yeah, but what happened?
What did she do?
Now she gets it last.
Oh, she slept with Richard. I don't know. I forget what she did.
I forget
that
too.
That is pretty bad.
Well, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Also, someone brought up the point on Twitter. Do you think they didn't show the date with John Hamm because they couldn't find a way to make him unappealing? But he can play unappealing.
He can.
I'm sure he
but
can.
But I feel like the AV Club speculated about that as well.
Mm.
And to that, I would respond with his turn on 30 Rock, where he was not boring necessarily,
right,
but he was like an idiot.
Although his boringness is funny then. If they make his boringness funny, you almost go like, huh, that's still, I still like that guy.
That would have been hard to do. Because it's interesting, because when they meet at the auction and they're fighting over the red wine and the last bottle, which isn't the last bottle, they seem to have some sort of chemistry, and he doesn't seem like a Duddy McDutterson.
What's weird is that he doesn't betray how much of a wine snob he is in that moment.
Right.
When they're fighting over the last glass of red wine. Although I guess he is sort of betraying it because he wants it so badly. But that he doesn't talk about like this. Because that was one of the things that ended up being later a real knock against him.
Just talking about cars and wine was the thing.
I would have loved to have seen that scene. Because it would have been fun to, it's like a meta commentary on the show, to see her talk in the way she does it, like all the characters talk on the show, and to see another guy who does not talk that way.
Right.
Like, and is like kind of in conflict with that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
That could have been an interesting thing to do.
And we'll never know.
No.
We'll do fan fiction of it. We'll just act it out ourselves. We'll stage a reading.
Well, you're saying people are going to do fan fiction of us?
No.
Are you requesting fan fiction starring you and me?
This
with special guest Hayes Davenport?
I'm requesting.
Okay.
Okay, we'll do it.
Oh, no.
Or you're requesting Hayes write fan fiction of us? He's
well,
a powerful
not,
screenwriter.
Well, not requesting that.
Okay.
I'm not requesting.
Why not?
I'm
I've
not,
worked
not.
On a lot of stuff.
Oh, he's
I'm
saying,
a personally
he's not not.
I'm
oh,
not.
Oh, you're not not.
Not.
Okay,
not.
Great. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Great.
All right.
Should we get into a bit of the fashion?
Sure.
Fashion.
Can I play actually a voicemail about this very thing?
Please.
Because we had... Actually, this is Kelly from North Carolina.
Hi, Kelly.
And she had a little tip for us.
Hi, my name is Kelly Wheat Rivers. I am one of your fans over in North Carolina. So when you guys introduced and opened and closed the fashion report, and lately I think you've been struggling with the fa-fa-fa-fa-fa.
Yep,
true.
It keeps making me think of this vocal warm-up I do with one of the local community choirs I sing in. It's called Tip Calf. You repeat the letters for, or the sounds for the letters T, P, K, and F. And I think you guys would benefit from practicing this. So I'm going to try to do it. I always struggle on the K, so I'm going to go ahead and say that up front. But essentially, you do this. I thought it might help you open and close the fashion segment. Love the show. Can't wait to hear more. Thanks, guys. Bye.
She's adorable.
She is.
Isn't she sweet? We have the
is
sweetest
this,
fans.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Prospective bride, I don't think you could have asked for someone better to marry you, Demi.
If she is single, you know? We don't know from the voicemail.
I have her number right here. I'll give it to you.
That's
after
true. Okay, can you just read it right now to me?
Yeah.
I'll just write it down. Cool.
910.
Yep. Perfect.
Sounds
is that
real.
Her real? It's, what the hell?
Sounds real.
I know you're going to cut that out, but still.
I don't know. We'll see.
Cool. So I'm just going to go ahead and text her.
What I thought was best about that voicemail is when she took that big breath at the beginning, I thought that was going to be like her one breath for the whole for the whole message. Because it was like, I thought she was going to say it all really fast and just try and get it in on that one breath.
I wish, but no. So, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
No,
oh, it's ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
No, it's ta-pa-ka-fa. T-P-K-F.
T-P-K-F. So it's
ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta- I'm going to do this in the style of a Def Jam comedy roast. because every time I write something down, it feels like this looks like this.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Y'all see this? Did y'all see Emily's gardening outfit? She looks like Helen Mirren and Calendar Girls. Damn. Am I right? Am I right? Y'all feel me? She's looking like Zach Braff in Garden State.
Oh, shit.
Oh, looking like a wallpaper in my bathroom.
Oh, my God.
All right. We got that.
Okay.
Y'all see Lorelai's dress? Have you seen this shit? Lorelai's dress looks like a Rorschach test. I look at that dress and I see my parents fighting. Y'all feel me? Y'all feel me? All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's it? Just those two?
Did y'all see Dwight's shirt? Y'all see Dwight's shirt? Where was he going? Where was he going for vacation? Margaritaville? Looked like Jimmy Buffett threw up on his shirt.
Oh, my God.
Are you seeing this shit?
I'm glad I asked if there was one more.
Yeah.
Were we not going to get that one?
Look, you get bonus features. It's the best one. It is the best one.
Bonus. Right?
Yes.
I found myself genuinely weighing in on Lorelai's options for what dress to wear on the date, and not really liking any of the stuff she
chose.
I was not into it.
There was
at
one
all.
That was like kind of a brownish purple on top of like a reddish brown.
The fashion struggles on this show.
Is it supposed to be part of her character that
like, she dresses terribly?
And I don't consider myself any kind of expert on this, so I felt like they were making it easy for me to think that something was not a good dress.
I don't know, dude. You have pretty good shoes on, I would say.
Yeah, you and I have very similar these desert booties. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which my girlfriend got for me, and I guess a way to try and keep me around after all this Alexis Bledel fiasco ongoing for 9 years.
I didn't get those because I'm divorcing.
I like your shoes, dude. I'm just seeing them now.
Thank you.
How long have you had those?
We'll tweet pictures of our shoes.
Okay. Yeah.
Who are you divorcing?
Just my old shoe guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He kept trying to be like, yo, you gotta get these Vans, and I was like, no, Ernie, I don't want the Vans anymore.
He kept making I got sold, but I'm not a soldier jokes. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, the Killers are great. I love the Killers, you know that, Ernie. But every time I come in the shop, you make that joke. And it's lost its charm.
It's upsetting. And then in that one scene, Emily says, that's a nice sweater on Rory. That blue one in the last scene.
She's lying.
It's not.
She's
lying. It's not great.
She's trying to butter her up.
Does she wear a uniform to school?
Yeah.
She goes to a private school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't actually see any of the school scenes in this one. So they're rich, huh?
Yes.
Emily and Richard are.
Oh. Right. But it seems like... They live in Lorelai and Rory also live in like an okay house.
Their house is.
It's a fascinating decision to have these people be as comfortable as they seem to be.
And their neighbor is super like if you go into their house, that's like a wealthy person's house,
right?
So
even
it's,
from the exterior,
exactly. So to have them live next to someone like that and then pretend to be like they're struggling all the time is just this.
Is that part of the thing?
Is the inn always doing
bad business?
The inn is fine, but to pay for Rory's tuition for Chilton, they had to borrow money from Emily and Richard.
Right.
It's the central premise of the show.
Yeah.
That's why they have dinner together.
Yeah, Friday night.
Here's an interesting thing that just occurred to me. I didn't know what school she went to, but I went to a private school in New England.
Mm-hmm.
There's a school called Choate and a school called Milton.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that with Kate Spencer. They just combined
Kate Spencer went to Dana Hall. Which I lived on, like, the campus of.
Oh, funny.
In Massachusetts. Yeah. We were, like, right on the border of Dana Hall. And it was an all-girls school.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go by. I would expect when I was, like, in middle school to be able to walk through their campus and see naked girls through the window. But I never really did see that. And I could just be like, oh, I'm just walking home. You know, but I never saw a single naked girl.
Because John Belushi in Animal House was
I just expected every window when it was dark to be like a light on inside and a girl
silhouette.
Yes.
It's perfect time for me to change.
A tasteful silhouette of like a nude girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
A tasteful silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I hated the ending actually. Can I talk about that? The ending was weak sauce.
It ends so anticlimactically. Where she's just now she's going to go to the concert. Everything is resolved in conversation. Like
there's not a lot of visual
storytelling.
There's
very little real conflict.
Real conflict in what sense, you would say?
I was surprised that it's the decision of just like yes or no whether to go to this thing. And there's no real revelation that drives her to agree to do this. Mm-hmm. It's just someone telling her, like, you should do this. But usually, when you're writing a show now, you would combine the A and B story in some way. What you're expecting is, like, she would, like, for example, she would hear something on Dwight's voicemail or something. She'd be in Dwight's house, like, watering his plants or something. And she would see some clue as to, like, how his marriage broke up or, like, yeah. a nice thing he did for his mom or something like that. And she'd be like, oh, it's good to be nice to your mom. I'm going to go to this concert or something. Mm-hmm. Using some little thing that happens in the B story.
Right, a little thread to take you there.
Like, let her have this big awakening in the A story. But it's just that she just says okay at the end.
I really didn't like that they set it up as this sort of like big contentious moment of like, you're right, you know, if this is important to you, I'll go. And from the relationship, you expect it to be this kind of thing of like, I'm not going to ask you to do this. If you really feel like you don't have a connection with this man, then don't do it. But instead, they turn it into a joke as the last thing. It's just like,
right.
So when you go, borrow that sweater. And it's like, okay, you just lost all the goodwill you had in this
scene. The joke was not, it just felt too ribbon on a bow on the package on the, you understand what I'm saying. Sitcom-y, a way to tie it up.
Right, red light.
In a way that was not.
Green light on the wedding night.
Green light on the wedding night.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Too true.
That must resonate a lot for you, that phrase, Demi.
It does. Well, I'm more of a red light on the wedding night, if you know what I mean.
Episode 303.
Yeah, a bit of a yield on the wedding field.
203, sorry.
A bit of a...
a yield on the wedding field.
Yeah, crossing guard at the wedding yard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This wedding's out of the brain.
I got weddings on the brain at all times. I'm waiting to be a wife.
Got weddings on the brain. Weddings on the brain. Should we rate the episode? Or is there stray observations we need to talk about?
Once, two stray observations. Lorelai looks very professional at the auction. Doesn't she? I think her dress at the auction was way good.
Oh, we haven't closed out the fashion report.
Emily's tunic looks like it's neon. Y'all feel me on that? It's neon. Look like she glows under a black light.
Yo.
Looking like if it were a crime scene, people would be like, oh, what's this lady doing here? She looking like blood under a black light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's close it out.
Okay.
Fashion. They didn't work.
Well, but if we practice them in the car on the way here, that we drive in.
We get chauffeured in.
Yep.
Yes.
So that was all part of the fashion report by accident? The whole last like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah. So now those are only applicable.
Because I bet some people fast forward, you know, some people maybe are interested in fashion, fast forward and listen for it to be closed out.
Yeah.
And not knowing that we talked about all this great non-fashion stuff.
And we've tried to be better about that. And I think what we're going to start doing is we're going to put time codes for like where the different segments are in the show so people can fast forward there. Cause,
like chapter selection on a DVD.
Right. Because people love Pop Goes the Culture when we talk about Solomon. People love
the pop culture of Solomon.
Yeah. He's so popular in his culture.
He's the...
You hear people dropping Solomon on the street all
constantly.
The time, yeah. Can I have a suggestion for you guys that I forgot to make earlier?
Yep.
Instead of say yes to the Jess, you should incorporate this whole like dress thing that went on this week. You guys know about that dress photo?
Oh, boy.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Black and blue.
You should be like, what?
I have no idea what that is.
Jimmy's playing the fifth.
You should be like, what color is the Jess? Or like that kind of thing. Wouldn't that be a fun direction to go?
I see white.
Right?
Well, it starts hollow. That's all you can
see. That's good. Exactly. White and like a heart of gold or something.
Yeah.
See, this is like the kind of stuff.
Ooh.
I see white with a heart of gold. I see black heart. And he's got a blue soul or something like that.
Yes, a blue soul.
We should stretch that out for as long as we possibly
can. So what color
it's gonna
is
It's
going to
be going on for a long time, the
for
conversation
time?
About this
Which
thing.
Which is weird because I think it's over already.
I think you should set in stone, do in some like irreversible way, a segment based on the color of the dress.
We should definitely have long-running segments based on short memes.
All right. What color is
for
the
instance,
Jess? We're going to address, for instance...
Let's talk about the rainbow Numa Numa cat in reference to how people dress on this show.
And now that's a combination of two memes, which I think is...
Double rainbow?
Oh, Numa
the
Numa
The Numa
cat.
Numa is the guy
right.
who sings the Numa Numa song.
What's the cat's name?
It's like the Nyan cat.
Nyan cat.
Nyan cat.
But I think you should also try to shoehorn as many memes into one segment as possible.
In a way, just Michelle at the auction reminds me of those llamas from the other
yes,
day.
Yes, see? This
those
good.
Llamas wearing the dresses as they jumped over the double rainbow.
I feel this.
Who was looking for a rapist in Linkin Park, He was climbing in your windows.
Oh, yeah. Which one is that?
Oh, it's been so long.
That's a meme? Yeah.
I hate that meme so much.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about hide your kids, hide your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should just say that.
Oh, not the lead up? Not the lead up to the famous part?
Yeah.
Don't say the part that no one remembers.
He's looking for a rapist to link it apart. Because that's not really the meme of it, that there was a rapist around.
Hide your kids, hide your trivial pursuit.
Yeah, see, that's good.
That's a pop culture reference.
You should do more of that.
I think we should do more underground memes.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that no one talks about, like what I just did.
Different rapists.
Yeah. Let's talk about all the different rapists.
Oh, my gosh. Well, guys.
My favorite line in this episode... Sorry, because I didn't mention this when we talked about the breastfeeding.
No, we need to talk about it.
Was when Luke tries to get Lorelai to talk to the woman breastfeeding, and he goes, why not? Yes. You're a woman. You have the same parts. You shouldn't be scared of it. Yeah.
That was a good line. That was very funny.
Yeah.
Implying that, like, since I don't have that, I should be scared of
it. I'm very afraid of this woman's breasts. And apparently Jess is, like, mortified. He probably went upstairs and was just like, I gotta think of something else.
So you're saying Jess needs to say yes to the breast.
I do.
I liked also that
what color is the breast?
That he knew.
Gold and white.
That those parents' toy, that the baby's toy was going to be broken.
Yeah. Because
he'd say, like, every week they try to use this thing.
It was very beautiful.
That was a fun thing. Are you guys going to have the Paladinos on this show?
We want to.
We would love them.
That seems achievable.
Do you think? They're
absolutely.
In New York.
All the time?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, what's stopping us from being in New York?
What's that?
What's stopping us from being in New York?
True.
I met Dan.
Well, because he worked on Family Guy, right?
But no, he wasn't there at the time.
Okay.
I met him. Sean talked about working on that Flintstones thing.
Right.
And I had a meeting with him also to work on the Flintstones.
Interesting.
At the farmer's market. Outside Bob's Donuts, which he said he used to have an office above. So it's like an important place for him.
Oh, interesting.
We had a meeting. It went very well. I was hired on the show.
For the Flintstones.
For the Flintstones reboot that Seth MacFarlane was doing. They had a 35-episode order at the very beginning. So I was like preparing for this to be like a huge project for like the rest of my life, just sort of getting in a place where like I was going to write rock and stone puns for a very long time. Yes. And then one day I just suddenly started getting a lot of texts that said, sorry. And I was like, oh, this
what an alarming feeling to get a lot of texts saying,
and now
sorry.
I have to just figure out what happened to me that was bad. And it was that the Deadline had announced that the show had been like ended like before we even actually showed up in the room.
Oh man,
why?
So do you have a ton of rock puns you never got to use?
Yes, I have. Well, lots of stuff. I was thanking God that our president has the word rock in his name.
Barack Obama.
I mean, just the number of things I could do with with just his name would certainly fill 35 episodes, but we didn't get to do a
single
one.
If you want to drop any of the rock puns you didn't get to use, feel free to.
I'm still sort of holding out hope that it could come back.
I feel that.
That the show could come back.
As we all are.
And I also, you know, I had a lot of Sharon Stone stuff, but then I saw the Flintstones movie that with John Goodman and Viva Rock Vegas, and they do actually use a lot of those, a lot
Stone.
Of Sharon Stone stuff.
They were ahead
there.
Of their time with
Halle
Barack
Berry's
Obama
character's
jokes.
Name Sharon Stone, so that probably, it's probably good that
That's
I didn't
confusing.
Get to do the show, because that some people probably would have called
especially
me out on
that. Especially since Sharon Stone's character in that movie is named Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because mm-hmm. Berry, it's like...
it's Halle Boulder, I think?
It's like something, yes.
Mm-hmm. Which one of them looks into the camera and goes, it's a living.
That was Danny DeVito.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounded like it.
He plays like a shower head. Like it's like it's his head coming out of the wall.
Just and spitting on
he
somebody.
He just spits over and over
right.
again on their head. Yeah. And he says it's a living.
It's a living.
Which I don't think it is. I don't think any of the dinosaurs on that show are actually compensated for the
not at all.
For the work that they do. It seems like they certainly think they're going to be at some point because they say it's a living. Like it's their job. They think it's their job. But no, they're slaves.
Well, see, that's what you could explore on the show in the reboot of the Flintstones. You could these are the sort of like socioeconomic issues you could really break down.
Yes, that they couldn't do in the '50s, when like slavery was like this acceptable thing.
Right in the '50s.
Right, but no, now we can come out and say like, no, that was bad.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been telling those dinosaurs that they were gonna be paid.
And also, let me breastfeed my kids in public. We talk about all the social issues.
Yes, yes. Which you, yeah, was illegal in the in 2002, and now
and in the 50s.
It's sort of, yeah, changed.
Yeah, slavery and breastfeeding are pretty on par.
It's those two. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that would have been.
Slavery and breastfeeding?
No. The show.
Oh.
I just wonder. I just...
I was like, did you really just say I wonder?
Oh, the new Flintstones reboot?
Yeah.
I never got to see the pilot. I really tried to read the pilot, was never able to get my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a gay neighbor. That's all I know. He being Fred Flintstone. There was like a new character who was a gay neighbor.
What was his name?
I guess we could speculate on that.
Stony Boulder.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I guess... No, that's bad. That yeah, I can't really think of anything to say that wouldn't just be horrible.
Fair enough.
And maybe that's why the show was not... They couldn't go forward with the show.
Because
obviously he has to have a gay neighbor. And,
he's got to have
And it's got to have an offensive pun. A very his name. Offensive pun. Yeah. Well, let's give this episode...
Well, now I'm just trying to think of an offensive pun.
Don't.
I won't.
Yeah, it's tough.
Gilmore Girls is the show we're currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around the horn and give it a rating, a ranking. You know how this works because you've listened to episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So this episode wasn't great for me. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't... It wasn't even, like, basically good.
Really?
In the in the ways I'm accustomed to being treated by this show.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
So well and lovingly. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10. Oasis cuckoo clocks.
Mm-hmm. Cuckoo. I agree. Not a fun episode. I think it was
of Gilmore Girls, but this has been a very fun episode of Gilmore Guys. I agree.
You actually really scared me for a second.
I didn't want to haste.
This is no DC Pearson. No Sean.
At least please wait till I'm gone.
This isn't even a pilot. No. I will say the only redeeming episode... Well, two redeeming things in this episode was the auction parts with Michelle were okay fun, although totally unnecessary. And I feel if you cut them, I'd be like, that's fine.
Right. And the one thing about the auction I did like is I liked Emily's look when her friend was bragging on her.
Oh,
she had this beaming look of pride. She's like, she's the Cobra. She gets her way.
I'm no Cobra. What? Me? I couldn't be.
Yeah, right. She liked being called that.
And then the other redeeming part was just any Richard scene in this episode was very good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 Trivial Pursuits.
Okay.
Who's Richard?
Richard is Edward.
Richie
Herman.
Rich oh, okay. dad.
Yeah, it's the only episode I've seen. I enjoyed watching it. I give it 10 out of 10.
Wow.
10 out of 10 Richards.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Hayes.
Thank you guys for having me.
Davenport.
And see, now I'm just reliving it all over again. I feel like I've never really gotten back to that time.
Is me playing it right now like a little too much?
There's a sense memory of first the love and affection I was receiving mm-hmm. from my peers
which you don't
when my name
now.
Was spoken on television, and then just as quickly it being taken away from me. By time, just by like time marching forward. And you wish you could freeze it, you know? Just like stay in that moment forever when your name was said on television.
One day they'll say, did you Weebe on television? And that's my day. I'm going to get that sound clip. I'm going to walk around a school I don't go to and just be like, look at me, I'm big man on campus.
You're the Clarence Clemens on campus.
I'm the Clarence Clemens on Clampless.
Clampless.
Too many C's. I can't do it.
Too many C's. That's kind of the problem with this show.
Too many C's.
Anyway, do you know the theme song?
To your show?
To the show.
Well, this was the misconception I was having for a long time. And what really confused me when I watched an episode of Gilmore Girls, I mm-hmm. thought your theme song was the theme song for the show. And that it was just the la-las.
It would be better that
and
way.
And stuff.
No,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Carol, we love you.
But it's not. And so I was disoriented. I was really expecting to hear the la-las at the top of.
Were you thinking like, oh, this must be a show. Special episode?
Yeah, I thought it was like maybe the wrong show or like, or maybe, or what did occur to me, I was
when
like,
it came up as Gilmore Girls and you heard Where You Lead, I Will Follow, you thought, maybe this is the wrong show.
Maybe it's the wrong show, or maybe they changed the theme song for like season three or something. Yeah. It's something that really did occur to me because it was so set in my head that I would be hearing these la-las. And just that's something that would make me comfortable. But instead, I was very disoriented. And it could have affected how much I enjoyed the episode.
If you listen to previous episodes of this podcast, mm-hmm. then you know that we sing the theme song at the end.
Yeah.
If you made it to the end, which is very possible you didn't.
It's hard to.
I've definitely heard this. But to say that I remember all the lyrics from having heard it on the podcast would be a stretch. But I can probably sing along to what I think the lyrics would be.
That's all we ask.
Out on the road,
Gilmore Girls. Okay.
Feeling lonely and you're, so okay. cold.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to the inn and I'll be there.
Okay.
On the next train,
choo-choo.
Where you leave.
Michelle loves auctions.
Follow.
Luke loves personal freedom.
Anywhere. That you tell me to.
There's a guy with a jar. Is he on the show? I don't know.
Where you leave. Demi's just caught.
I will follow anywhere.
My girlfriend's brother dated the main character on this show.
I wish we were in laws. That'd be cool. Where's my wife?
Where's your wife?
Where's my? I'm waiting to be a wife, guys. I don't know if I've mentioned that today.
That's how much you want it. It's like you're willing to be a wife, a husband. It doesn't matter to you.
Groom or
bride. The guy just wants to get married.
Say life to the wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, say life to the wife.
Thank you so much, Hayes.
Thank you, guys. Bye.